Welcome back, Lister sisters, Lister misters, and Lister listeners, to another episode of Top Hat Topics. I'm your co-host, Jen Snyder, and with me as always,
Kristen Hughes.
And we're about to get into episode 8. Are you still talking?
I feel like my better half says that to me every day.
I'm excited about this episode.
I know. It's the finale. Guys, it has been the wildest, most beautiful, and sometimes painful ride with you guys. It has been the best part of our week to companion every one of these episodes with you guys. But have no fear, because we're going to be back. We intend to keep it going every week, just like we have right up until season 2 starts. And we've got a lot of exciting content for you. And don't hesitate to reach out to us and let us know about some of the things that you would want to hear about.
We're going to keep you fed until season 2 is basically what we're saying. We're going to have something for you every week until then. So please make sure you listen back. Please make sure you email us.
Yeah, as always, our email is tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com.
And also, we want to shout out, as always, every week, our Gentleman Jack fans, HBO and BBC One TV show, and also our lovely Lister Sisters off-topic group.
Always lit, 24/7, 365.
We love both those groups so much. They do so much for us. Congrats to Gentleman Jack fans, HBO and BBC One, for hitting 8,000 members.
8,000 members.
So awesome.
I mean, the work that those admins and our new moderator are doing to wrangle that many people is incredible.
We appreciate y'all.
We really do. 8,000 is a lot. And our admins on the Lister Sisters off-topic chat, too. It gets wild up in there, so y'all are doing a really killer job, too.
Everybody's doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate
y'all. Everybody is out there doing the Lord's work.
Holla. So I think we're going to get into this episode. We're going to get into the finale. We're giddy.
We are giddy. Let's face it. At this point, we all know what's coming. We are excited about it.
So, as always, cheers to you guys. Cheers to our listeners. And we're going to get started with episode 8. Are you still talking? Let's do it. HBO static.
Bright tone.
And here, brisk music. I don't even know what brisk music is, but they're just letting you know we're getting into it.
Think brisk. I mean, when I think about brisk, I think about fall. And here's Saran. Don't forget her thermometer.
Yeah, always in the back. This scene so much. She looks so hot in this scene. Like, knee I'm not even up. on Butch, but knee propped up. Once again, the hands promptly showcased.
Per the use.
Yeah, because that's what people want to see. We love you, Saran. We love what you do.
But let's see them hands.
Yeah. What them hands do, girl?
She's in this carriage with this young, pretty little thing. Looks like she just popped right out of a Renaissance painting.
Mm-hmm. Getting sent back somewhere. I love that people would send their young, pretty...
their young, pretty girls. They're like, oh, this woman is... She is straight up and down.
But not really. And her bemused smile at the girl talking about how she'd only marry for love. And I don't want to marry some old Russian dude. I don't know, 20 years.
And my aunt said, Sophie, you are so naive. That accent, I probably just butchered it, but
I love how she asks.
It is beautiful.
I love how she asks if she thinks she's pretty. That's right? Hot.
I mean,
what confidence?
What kind of woman has the nerve to just look right at you?
A really hot woman.
Do you think I'm pretty? Like, I'd be like,
I mean, personally, I'd be like, yes, I do.
Well, I'm not dead.
But Anne is just like, I think you dress pretty. I think you look. Yeah. That's smaller.
Right?
She's 1832, like, I mean, Negan.
That was Anne's way of being like, oh, little girl, you are cute, but I wrote the rules on this.
I like when she's like, oh, so I think I touched the nerve, and Anne's just like, oh, bitch, you done made me drop the journal, made me drop the pencil, or whatever she was writing with. I don't know. Probably not a pencil.
Gently touch your beautiful, insurable hands to your mouth.
And here's the auntie reading about it all like the newspaper. She just love a letter from Anne, honey.
It's like reading the tabloids.
Probably a little better, because this is true.
Yeah. You know, this is legit.
Yep. Mm. She said the bed was damp, and the aunt was just like, oh, what a host of miseries you must have been.
A host of miseries in a cold, damp bed.
And look at this beautiful, badass waterfall. And Anne was like, it was a disappointment.
Can't be bothered. I expected more.
I'm sad about little cinnamon buns that I ain't heard from in a while.
Mm. And she's trying real hard to not think about it.
But it's all she can think about.
And her Aunt Anne knows just from reading her words.
She's thinking about that girl.
Aunt Anne knows what's up. She's like, oh, that poor thing is hurting.
Oh, and I just love her Russian czar outfit here. She's so sexy in this. I would rock the hell out of that. Breaking the fourth wall. Hoping to hear again from her girl in Copenhagen.
And you had mentioned that some band needs to write a song.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. What's the band that does the theme song?
Oh, Julian Tidum.
They need to write a song about waiting to hear from her in Copenhagen.
Yes.
Or they, the Good Be Tanyas, P Good Tanyas, the Be Good Tanyas.
Crooked Still. I could come up with some good artists that any I want of those, to write that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, write that song. And then sexy Saran Jones hands, just doing things, putting on a hot top hat.
Unsolicited lesbian dick pics all over the place, and except nobody's complaining about it.
And if I could make one complaint about this show, not that there's any complaints to be made, but too many dead horses. Too many dead horses in this series, okay? I don't like that. I don't like things with dead horses or dead dogs. I don't want to see dead. Don't do that to me. I don't have time for that shit.
Which is just really shocking, considering the fact that you're a horror movie enthusiast.
But don't hurt dogs.
You can show the most effed up horror movie known to man, but as soon as you even look at a little pup wrong, Jess Snyder is leaving your establishment.
When I see a dog in a movie, I go outside and Wikipedia to make sure the dog's okay, and if it's not, I leave the theater, because fuck that, I didn't pay to see that shit.
The anxiety is too
it's
much.
It's too much. It's the same. Like, dogs are God's baby furry. Angels, you guys.
We really don't deserve their
we
love.
We don't. And it's like, that's why dogs are good for shows, because dogs are loyal. Dogs are like, anything to help. And somebody was mentioning that on the group. They were like, why not cats in the show? It's like, because cats are like, fuck you.
Kikis can't be bothered.
No. You don't pay enough staff. We don't work for scale. I mean, is there a way for you to make me an eternal god? No. Then I don't want to work on your silly show. Now please go away and fill the bowl with kibble. Be gone.
You've annoyed me and wasted moments from my very busy day.
Out of my sight, human. Where I cannot see you.
Be gone.
So the horses died. The little kids can't work as hard. The mine going to need some more money to be sunk.
Everything at Shibden has fallen down. And Anne is just out running away.
This bitch on vacation. Doing what she do.
Living her best life. Well, yeah. She's trying to pretend it's her best life.
Dude, I love this scene so much. It must be CGI because there's no way Copenhagen still looks like that.
Right. And I'm sure that it was. I think that it was probably a combination of like green screen and set.
But what kind of life was that have been? Like those, I mean, that's like.
Like having to travel across the North Sea in a storm weather like that.
Yeah. I mean, traveling's dangerous now. But like you think about 1832 traveling boats and ships and water can kill you. Like that's some crazy shit.
She was brave.
She's the bravest. Yeah. That's why everybody loved her. That's part of the things that, you know, like you said before, people are always, like, so excited to see her.
Yeah, like, everywhere she goes, she's got a little harem of people just ready to, as they say in the show, they just can't do enough for her.
That's that charm. That's that gay charm that people have used for years. That's what our people do, man. We make ourselves endearing. It's almost bad on you to not like us because we're so fun and charming and, you know, it's one of the things we do. It's a survival skill.
It is. It is a survival adaptation.
It is. It really is. And I think it was funny, this comparable to Fried Green Tomatoes, like both families support their big old butch person.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty cool, man. And same thing
because
with their friends.
Because they know their merit. They trust their character and their merit as a human.
Yeah. And they're people.
And And they know that there's no way that this was chosen.
No.
Like, this is who she is. Nope. And she's not even any worse for it.
Nope. And now she just got a bunch of letters when she showed up, because, of course, that's how Anne rolls, but not one from who she really wants. She don't care.
Just one.
There could be a million letters there, and if there ain't one from a cinnamon roll, she don't care.
She just waiting for a little envelope that smells like fresh baked pastry and creamy cinnamon compote and cream cheese icing.
Yep, she's sad.
But alas.
No letter.
Foiled again.
Oh, in this scene, first of all, you know it's cold as hell there because they're on the coast.
And it's just beautiful. Like, this panoramic shot is incredible.
I mean, shout out to Sally Rainwright. She knows what she's fucking doing.
And Sophie Rundle for those real tears. The pigment of people's eyes really change when, like, that is those are real tears.
She's so sad. Look how sad she is.
She's so sad. She just wants to be with her baby. She doesn't know why this is happening.
This is an all alone in the world moment, and her sister actually is seeing it like, this is not good.
This is no bueno.
No. And I love her sister for sticking up for, you know, for recognizing it and being like, man, we got to figure this out. So she goes to talk to Mr. Asshole. What do I call him? I don't know. He's bad.
He's a bad man.
I don't like him.
He's Mr. Patriarchy himself.
Oh, Master Mutton Chops. I don't care for him.
Massa Mutton Chops. Massa Mutton Chops. So that's what we're going to call him.
I don't like Massa Mutton Chops. He's the worst.
Well, he's right up there with old troll face Gringotts Goblin Rawson.
And so basically it's like, yeah, I wrote to her. She sent us back good advice. Why haven't you written back? Because he's a scandalous bastard is why, is the answer.
And she realizes it now. She's like, are you for real?
Yeah. I'm not convinced it was the right thing to do anyways, because men always know the right thing to do.
Oh, of course.
No offense to our male listeners. We're rest assured that you're not like that.
But we also, I think, can all agree that mansplaining is real.
And, you know, I don't mind if you want to follow her advice as far as secret a medical man. You mean like really good sound advice, like from a physician?
Yeah.
That she's already seen? This guy makes me hate him.
He just wants all of that Walker money in his possession.
Yeah. And I worry this is unhealthy, her obsession.
Because I went through her stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that part bothered me too. He's like, I saw a picture that she drew. Bitch, what was she doing up in her sketchbook? That is private.
That's her diary. That's an artist's diary.
Yeah, in the back of her sketchbook. You were looking in the back of her sketchbook? You fucking scandalous bastard. Yeah, the sister don't like that either. She has a...
Yeah, she's done.
And she's like, it isn't an obsession. They're just friends. You know how friends are. I always be drawing pictures of my friends in the back of my sketchbook.
Always.
And she's always so cheerful and kind, and she left a great impression on Anne. And then this dude want to bring up this fucking shiesty bastard.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him to propose to her again.
Whip up the courage to propose. I'd like to whip you, bruh.
And Elizabeth straight up was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, he needs to accept the answer. She gave him she said no. I said what I said. And I said no.
And this where he points at her. It is so repugnant.
Ugh.
The fact that he says that having children will give you something else to think about other than yourself. And she says bearing children does not exorcise all of one's demons. And he decides to be a condescending, sarcastic asshole about it and say, really? Well, it should. Like, what are you ever going to know about pushing a baby out of your cooter?
I have no response to that.
Because it's too real.
Yeah. So he's a piece of crap. Here's Anne. She's in Copenhagen having fancy dinner like they do. And oh man, I love her shoulders. Om nom nom.
She's so ripped.
She's so perfect. Oh, and that little look to the girl. She's like, girl.
That girl is just looking for trouble. She's trying to rile something up. And Anne is like, No, child. You at the adult table.
We're at fancy dinner, okay? We got lamb chops and a little tied up with their little legs up. We don't even eat those.
The Madeira is out.
Yeah. This is for looks, goddammit. We got plums on the table. Act right. There's crumpets out.
And she's trying to act like real chill about being introduced at court, like to the Queen of Denmark. No big deal. And she's trying to be all coy and be like, oh, really?
You must be presented if you want to have any social life while you're here.
She's like, oh, well, it hasn't happened to me at home. Why is it necessary to happen here? When you know deep down in her Anne Lister soul, she was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to meet the queen.
Yep. And all
her smile is so beautiful.
And here we are back in old Shibden.
Shabby little Shibden.
Marion's in her modest-ass woman dress again.
I know. I hope season 2 will at least give us a modern, modest-ass woman.
Yeah, Anne needs to bring her home a new dress from Copenhagen.
No doubt, Anne. Like, you've been in Paris, Copenhagen. You've been in all these places. Like, help your sister out.
I recall her making you some drawers before you left.
Exactly. Like, she had you some drawers made, and you can't even bring her back a new, modest-ass woman print?
And so her aunt just loves hearing about all her travels.
But she's in pain, and even though she misses her and she's scared, Anne's adventure is more important to her.
She so loves it. Oh, and I'm just tired listening to her. She's out there just doing her thing.
She's just living her life, and yeah. Marion's like, oh, aunt, I can tell that you miss Anne.
She's like, read it to me again. That's what they do when they love you and support you. They want to hear all about your travels and everything you do.
She's like, I'm the one here running everything and taking care of you. By all means, let's reread Anne's letter.
She does. She smiled and she did it. She's a good sister. She's a good niece.
I just love, like, we've just had back-to-back scenes that had really great comparisons. One of them was, you know, the way that Elizabeth's role over Anne was as an older sister, and the fact that Anne Lister is an older sister to Marion, and just the comparison and the difference between the dynamics of those two relationships are just really interesting to me. And the fact that in real life, Anne Walker had a great friendship with Marion, and I just think that they probably shared that little sister mentality.
Well, yeah, and also that, you know, my big sister's a pain in the ass. Like, I get it. She's annoying. She's always snatching at the plates from me while we're having tea.
Trying to take the butter first.
Yeah, she's a bitch. I get it. They probably bonded on that level.
She's a bully.
She's a bully.
And then just from that scene, it just rolls into Marion reading Anne's letter to Aunt Anne. And then the camera has moved down the hall.
To Mr. Washington.
Reading Anne's letter to Daddy Lister.
She does great juxtaposition, Sally does. Like, it's amazing.
It really is. It's brilliant.
Yep, it's brilliant.
And she brings it on a written level as well on a visual level.
And so here, Anne sent Mr. Washington to ask Daddy for some money.
But let him know that we might not need it, but can I just have
it? Can I hold that $450?
Can I just hold it for a peace of mind?
Just in case they need it. In case they need it. I'm not around. They might have to buy another horse because we had a horse die, you know.
Sad. Rest in peace, mm-mm-mm. Tonto.
So, you know, she doesn't think anything's going to go wrong, but if anything does go wrong, can we have that $450?
Can we just hold that $450?
So, yeah, things ain't going well.
I got five and, on it.
You asking Daddy for some money, and Dad's getting mad because he's starting to kind of put two and two together. He's like, you ain't had the money to sink the pit, and then right before you left, you had the money, and now you need to borrow some money.
And she just laid all this down on us, like, literally as she was walking out the door to go out of the country.
That's the way to do it.
And definitely. I know, right? Like, any business you need to wrap up, just make sure that you drop it as you are physically leaving the whole ass country.
What you gonna do about it? You can't catch me. But yeah, Daddy Lister's mad because he knew how much it would cost. He knew that Anne Walker wasn't going to give it to her. And he's pretty much figured out that
he knows what's up.
Yeah. And now, not only did you do that, but you still need my $450.
You still want my money to blow. Yeah.
And then we're back with our little cinnamon roll, sad cinnamon roll. Her eyes.
Morning cinnamon roll. Like, the emphasis on natural lighting and this. Like, you can feel what time of day it is on the way that the light is hitting her face.
And this kills me that she's looking at the drawn picture.
And I know that we've talked about this, like, at least three times. But the fact to be able to see someone so clearly in your mind without them sitting in front of you that you can draw a picture like that.
Girl, would that I ever be loved that much. That is beautiful.
Any of us.
It kills me. This scene kills me. Don't do that. Oh, just threw it in the fire. And it took you a long time to do that, I bet. It was probably hard. I can't draw people.
I know. Like, it's not like it was just a Polaroid.
Oh, Sophie. You're a 10 in a world of twos, baby girl. Oh, it's my true. God. Lord.
This world is jading her. She that threw picture a baby's of her picture
on Insta with her doggy.
Oh,
I never wanted to be a dog so bad in my life.
She loves her pupper.
Man, that makes me love her even more.
So here comes Anne. I love this whole scene. I just saw this week on one of the groups where somebody posted the video or when she's telling this story, one of them actually laughs and it makes them laugh harder. And you can, like, you can hear it in the episode.
Look at her gay rushing, just gay rushing into that
room. As hard as she can.
Yep. Oh, act normal. Act like you belong here. I've done this.
Excuse me, big gold lion.
Yeah, your majesty. And she's like, bitch.
Snorts.
Snorting. He's like, though, this is the queen.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. She's younger and hotter.
I mean, when she first turned around, though, like when I saw this episode live, as soon as she turned around, I thought to myself, now that is a queen.
Yeah, I like her.
She's... like her stature, the way her pop, everything about her presence is magnanimous. Apologies.
Yeah, this is a great scene. The way it's done, the whole interaction.
Their conversation, it's like the queen was able to pause Anne's world for a second and give her a little perspective.
I like this. I wonder who the character is. I wonder who the actor is, who the actress is.
Sophie Grable.
Oh, right. Nice, nice. Way to have it. She's the queen.
Bam, bam.
She's the queen of Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Wow. I think she's hot. Am I allowed to say she's hot?
She's a beautiful. You're gonna get emails? She's a beautiful woman.
She's hot.
She is a beautiful woman.
You know what's sexy to me? Like, not just confidence, but like this undertone of like really knowing your shit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hot. That's really hot.
I totally agree.
It doesn't matter what. It could be kazoos. If you really know something about kazoos and you're passionate about kazoos, I'm going to literally just sit there and lean on my arm and be like, go on.
Tell me more.
Tell me more about kazoos, girl. I love kazoos. They're amazing.
And she wants to know, why does she always wear black? She can see that a number of colors would suit her.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. A person who I'm once, she can't even lie in her words. And I love that so much. She finds a way around
so
it.
So relatable.
But yeah,
but
she
never
lies.
She is not going to lie.
No, a person. And when was this catastrophe? Oh, you know, 16 years ago.
And the queen definitely knows.
Oh, wait. She says actually it was 17.
Let me correct you, queen. Don't get it twisted. I know how many days I've been wearing black.
She says, maybe it's time to get over it. Because you know what lesbians love to do? We love to harbor. We harbor more than Maine, honey. We love to hold a damn grudge. I do. I hold a grudge.
I can't. I mean, there are one or two that I've managed to hold on to that, I mean, really deserved.
This part where she says, when she grabs her hand and kind of gives her a squeeze, and she says, except it keeps happening. And then that tear.
The lone tear. And just the way that the queen is looking at her just says to me that she's saying, you're going to be okay.
So many
I can tell by the way you've presented yourself that you're a woman of courage and you're going to be okay.
So many people tell her she's on the run from herself. This is the third person who's been like, you are on the run from
just
a broken
in this
heart.
Episode.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I feel like it's a coincidence if one person says it. If two people say it, then they're friends. But if more than two people say it, they're probably right.
Yep. And so here she goes, gay rushing into this hall, honey. Wearing all white, because that's what the queen says she got to do.
Yes, all white, gay rushing. Every time I see this episode, I think that it's my better half, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that is exactly what she would look like walking in someplace in a dress like that.
I love how the men move out of the way for her. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the scene.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is the best.
She's just hopping and skipping around people. She's like, hey, girl, what's up? How's your mom and them?
And people are looking, because it's pretty obvious that she does not belong.
She's like, oh, let me tell you about all these interesting people I'm talking to. Oh, did you hear about your friend in Scotland? She's like, well.
Why does everybody got to bring her up? Why you got to bring her up for?
I was trying to not think about it, but here we are.
I just wanted to have a good time. Here we are again.
One more time.
And then so she sees the cute little young thing.
Just young trouble. Look at her. Just everything about her, like, you can just tell she is looking for mischief. And Anne's like, I got you.
Got you.
I got something for that ass.
A tall woman coming up behind you like that is so, Lord. I'm a short person.
Can you
so
imagine?
Everybody's
and then turn around and it being Saran Jones.
Couldn't live.
I would have fallen out.
And then right I love then. How this had to be a scandal, right? Them dancing together.
I mean, knowing what everybody knew about Anne, it probably was. I mean, even though it was pretty customary in some situations for women to dance together, I would say
when Ann Lister did it, it was probably the top.
That it was, I mean, and everybody is looking, they're like, boy, but sometimes when I watch this episode, I just wonder, is it because it's two women dancing, or is it because how vigorous Anna's been? Like, she's leading.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I mean, somebody's got to lead.
Yeah, that's how it works. Oh, and here we are back to sad cinnamon bun.
Sad, forgotten cinnamon bun.
Oh, you just out in Copenhagen partying?
My little cinnamon roll. She just lonely. And I just love how it went from playing the music while they were dancing to it being
Well, we've argued about this before with her back and forth. Like, I think she's kind of like coming to terms with having gone back and forth so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I think that she's regretting a lot of her own decisions, and she thinks she's just fucked it up for herself.
Yeah, she's definitely regretting being in Scotland.
Oh, she's really upset about that choice.
Yeah, and all these damn babies around. How many babies in this damn house?
Yeah, really? Like, I mean,
the crib behind her. There's a crib on the table. Like, how many?
Crib. You got a bassinet.
There's damn babies. But they're having. This is the real talk.
Like, this is it. And Anna's like, maybe I should just marry that boy. And her sister is like,
bitch, what?
Are you for real? Like, I appreciate you playing along with it.
Yeah.
But you need to get a grip.
And she's like, what do you want? To fit in, to not be a nuisance? What the fuck? How sad is that? That's how women have had to feel their entire lives.
And her sister doesn't want that for her. She's just like, you deserve better than that. Like, I don't. You have the means. To yeah. live your life the way you want to. Don't do what I've done.
And don't marry this pitiless bastard who was thrown out of the army because for his insubordination because he has temper.
Like, that was basically her really nice lady way of saying...
He's a piece of garbage.
He trash.
Yep.
And you are not.
He's trash and I can smell it.
Yes.
And I don't want you to marry him. And I would have never had him go along with the party if I thought you were gonna cave.
Yeah,
at
like
any
I
point.
Thought. I thought we were playing a game to keep him off our back.
When he calls it, she calls him hopeless and feckless.
Feckless.
God.
Feckless.
I would be so ashamed in my heart if anyone ever referred to me as feckless.
I mean that's a different level. Mm.
So,
And poor Annie, she is just, and she's so. Like, not even distraught over saying this. She's like, wouldn't it just be the easiest thing to do? Like, she's just tired of.
And also, that thing she just says, hold on, I'm going to redo it because I want to watch her say it. She says, if I go home, there's nothing. Because she's afraid she's fucked up with Anne. Like what we talked about before with the yes. back and forth. And this is where, and so she locked, the bitch goes and locks the door. She said, okay, listen.
She's like, girl, listen, I got something to tell you.
What if you just went. And was a lesbian. Okay, what if you was just a lesbian? What if you was just like, fuck society?
What if you did just go home? Because you know what? Sometimes a very good friendship is much better than a marriage.
Okay.
That was 1832 talk for, so what if you gay?
And also, okay, can we just note real quick that this is like the third person that's talked Anne up to Anne.
Yes.
This is the third person that's like, well, what if he was just
Which is really funny because Anne has had about three people telling her that she's on the run from a broken heart. I'm sure that was intentional. Mm. Sally.
We're looking at you, Sally, who doesn't hear our podcast.
We know about your tricks.
So, y'all, we're going to take a quick little pause here at 25:38, and we'll be back in one moment, y'all. All right. So, basically, the sister is just like, go home and go live with Anne.
Like, I didn't want to say nothing because I thought it was going to make you homesick and I thought everything was cool for a minute, but boo-boo, you is hurting and you need to go get your baby.
Yeah, and don't let this asshole bully you into marrying some scumbag that don't have no money and just would marry you to treat you bad, basically, in my opinion.
And look, she did send her address, but this motherfucker has done and hid it. And you got to go talk to her sister or her aunt or somebody and find out where you can get in touch with her in Copenhagen.
Yeah, because he done destroyed the letter, girl. I did all I could. I tried to write her back, but, you know. And Miss Lister would never ignore you. You need to go home, get her address, and find her and bring her home and go live in Shibden with her.
Go get your baby. And Anne's like, oh, my God. She does care. Like, for the first time, she is thinking to herself, all right, I've got to nut up or shut up.
Yeah. How can I get home? I don't got no carriage. And then finally these people come through. Finally.
The Priestley's coming through.
And yeah.
An old auntie.
Oh yeah, that was the auntie that was in the very beginning in the carriage. Yep. And she's like, could you please come get me this shyster?
You know, I love the lady that plays her. I haven't said this before, but she reminds me a lot of my great grandmother.
She's very cute.
Like the way she looks. I just want to kiss her on the cheek.
She looks like she has that papery soft skin that old people have.
She smells like baby powder.
Oh, I didn't want to hug her. Now I want to hug her too. Okay. So like they're trying to figure out when can we go get it. But props to them for being like, okay, well, we could drop this and do this.
Because all they care about is the fact that he didn't take her to a doctor, like he said, which was the whole reason why we let her go up there, was because they were going to take her to Edinburgh.
Yeah. And they said, we'll bring Miss Walker, manservant. Oh, you'll bring James? You mean James? I guess we'll bring James.
I mean, I think that James does a pretty good job of making up for the fact that he let Miss Priestley in that one time that they were groveling.
We've talked about how lesbians hold grudges. I can't let it go. I harbor.
James still ain't getting any chickens.
Yeah, no chickens. James has been eating porridge this whole time because I shan't, Kristen.
James has been a vegetarian.
I shan't give him another chicken until he has learnt his lesson.
But you know what? This is when he learns his lesson, when he goes up to Scotland with them to get her.
All right, maybe. And so, oh, here's the doctor. The doctor's here.
Old Dr. Kenny.
Oh, I like it. This is a new modern-ass woman. This is probably my favorite modern-ass woman dress right here.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I call that ketchup a mustard, modest-ass woman.
Oh, burgers and fries, modest-ass woman. Here we go.
Yeah. That's McDonald's modest-ass woman. That's Ronald McDonald, modest-ass woman.
And so, once again, they're reading a letter from Anne, because Anne loved to send a letter. She got time to party, send letters, and travel.
I mean, that was all she had to do. Ooh. She didn't have a job.
Please, God.
What a life.
In my next life.
If only.
Right. I would party and send letters. I send letters all over the place.
Right. I would send 15 letters a day.
And I love how her aunt loves her. She's like, she's traveling. She's meeting royalty.
I don't want to call her back from what she loves the most.
And so, I mean, I guess it was bad. Like, this part, they seem very concerned.
Yeah, I mean, and it was gangrene. And, like, even back then, they knew enough about gangrene that it really could go one of two ways. Like, you're either going to get better right now or you're going to die.
Well, and so gangrene, like, infects the blood, right? You get,
right,
like, blood
poisoning.
Right,
it's an infection. It's from, like, open wounds getting infected.
And Marion's like, could you write the note? Because if I write it, she's going to get mad.
Because, you know, she thinks she's a doctor and she needs to know exactly what the deal is.
But, I mean, at the same time, I would want somebody to tell me what's going on. That's what I asked. She asked for them to do that, by the way.
She did, which is why I think she has the resolve that she has. Like, but she reads it and she's upset because she's having a good time.
Beyond the present limits and destroy life. Well, they really could
long
turn.
Long before you could possibly arrive back to
in
the kingdom.
Back in the kingdom. Like, they really be putting shit some cool ways. I want to start doing that.
Yeah, I'm.
They're like, I'm like, I shall meet you at half past the hour at the kingdom. And people would be like, your parents' house?
Britain is legit.
It is. Oh, there's a thermometer on the wall. Ah, this is a little thing, Sally. Quit playing.
Just the littlest thing.
Oh, goodness.
Here we go up the road to the Soudans.
Thomas is slaughtering a pig that ate his daddy.
That makes me really uncomfortable.
Oh, and who is this, motherfucker?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Who this is?
Oh, why does he look like his daddy?
Why does he look like his daddy?
Just like his daddy.
Can you imagine how that probably like shook him to the core right there in that moment? Like right there in that moment, he's just like...
As he's slitting the pig's throat.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa.
And what an interesting choice to
Is it? I wonder if it is the same actor. I need to look it up. I'll look it up.
I would imagine.
If it's the same actor or if it's really his twin brother.
He's not dead. I don't know. You seem dead?
I don't know if he's dead or not. I think he just
Definitely.
Went off. He went to America.
Whatever you do, don't go digging around this pig I just cut. Let's like just not worry about that. Uncle Ben. Old Uncle Ben came to ruin our lives.
Oh, here we go.
They got like six names then. Anne, Mary, Ben, Sam. That's it.
We do have a Jeremy and a Jeremiah, so that's really the same thing.
Yeah.
A Christopher. That's it, though. I mean, really, it's a grand total of like 10 names.
I get it. I'm Jennifer. There are 30 Jennifers in this town alone, so.
That's true.
30 lesbian Jennifers, not just Jennifers.
That we should make it lesbian law that if your name is Jennifer and you are a lesbian, pick a number. Like, we have to be able to identify all of you by your special number.
I am Jen 375.
Exactly.
So, the uncle that looks just like the dad that Thomas murdered is here to hang out and stay.
He's like, oh, I've fallen on hard times, and I don't know what to do, so of course I figured I'd come mooch off my brother's family.
And we don't drink around here, and we work hard, and we don't even have liquor in the house, so.
Can you imagine, like, to me, though, that is such a strong position for Thomas to take. To this man that is his father's brother, and Thomas is stepping up as leader of his household and saying, but you won't stay here if you drink.
Also, he's a murderer, and he was like, but we will go to church.
He killed for the right reasons. That's fair. I mean, I stand behind that with deserved.
And look here. They done brought James up. They on this carriage on two wheels. On two wheels,
on
honey.
Two wheels.
Just skirt as much as you can with a horse and a carriage and a gig.
And a gig.
And a gig. They done rolled up in the gig, girl. Get no gig. We out.
Riding dirty up to the manor.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. And James is like, oh, shit, Captain Sutherland's here. We got to roll.
We got to roll. Let's see. James just redeemed himself in that minute. Okay. He gave him a heads up this
so
time.
Forgiving. He's like, I remember that last time I
you
didn't let nobody lock.
You get chickens next week, James.
We'll see, James.
I'll give you my half of the chickens next week, James.
And look here, don't ever trust a motherfucker in a brown top hat.
I don't trust that shit. I mean,
massive
really,
mutton chops looking like shit. I don't trust you. You ain't no good.
And he's just like trying to weasel his way out of this whole situation. He looks like Ebenezer Scrooge right now.
He does. I'm surprised, obviously. What, a girl can't leave when she want to leave?
And Anne has got such big cojones right now. She is standing up for herself. She is not going to let this motherfucker tell her what she going to do. She just covered for her sister. And now she's saying adieu.
And then he's like, oh, but she's not better. And then the auntie, Miss Priestley, hops in with, well, you didn't even take her to the doctor. So, yeah.
Like, she might be a busy bonnet.
But busy bonnet stuck up that time, and I'll give her that.
She did.
You don't have to slope off like this.
Well, let's at least have some tea. Like, God, look at all that money that's just rolling right off my land.
Yep. And they didn't even want to have it sit around and have fuck you tea with you.
Nope.
And he's mad at his wife, but I mean,
I do not like the way he speaks to her. He called her insolent, and she's scared.
Yeah.
But she did it for Annie. She did it for that sweet
I would have
little
too.
Cinema roll Annie.
Ain't no way I would have let my little sister marry some scumbag.
Especially not that little sister. She's such a...
Easy.
She's such a little sweet.
Easy.
Sweet, sweet cinnamon roll. Easy.
You've had too much Madeira, and you're being saucy. Come on now.
You're getting a little too slinky. This is a family show.
It's too slinky. That silly business with Miss Lister is all over. It ain't over.
Oh,
it ain't over.
And Nosy Bonnet gonna see her wound. Bless her heart. She's just trying to heal.
Yeah. It's an accident. It's not what you think. Which is what we all say when something like that happens.
Always. That's kind of like when Anne Lister, her response anytime she's being questioned about something is nothing.
Yeah, it's true. I'm fine. And so look, our boo done lit out of Copenhagen, got her a ship.
She looks miserable. Like, honestly, just looking at that image makes me feel like I need a shower and a sleeping pill.
What's the longest you've traveled, like in one sitting?
Like without showering?
Just like, yeah.
Maybe like 12 or 14 hours.
24.
Wow.
And it's miserable. And we have cars. Like really wrap your head around
that. She was on the North Sea for like a month.
Dude, just trying to get the fuck home.
to see her auntie.
And she is just mad. And you know, like that mad, traveling mad is like a different kind of mad.
Oh, it is like,
I'm going to pause right here.
Take no prisoners. No. We paused in at 36, 32.
Because like, I used to work at Avis Rent-A-Car, and they would legit.
That I feel like. I ain't gonna say it.
They would legit let you be rude to customers because they knew that people are
crazy.
They're dicks when they're traveling. They're mad at everything. They're mad at the asshole dragging their bag too slow in front of them. They're mad at travel is miserable in so many. Even if you love it, and I love it, I love to
even
travel.
If you love it, you gonna but get mad.
You're gonna get mad, and you're gonna be pissed. Look, her face is just everything. So
and
here
that's why there are bars in airports.
It's so true. And she is not, we're going to Shibden right now.
Full speed ahead.
Thursday by tea time. That's important,
Thursday
girl.
Thursday by tea time.
Yeah, we riding in Thursday by tea. And look, oh, whatever the groomsman's name, he looks sick as hell. He's like, this bitch done
have
me on the
boat. Old Thomas. Thomas and Eugenie are just like, kill us, please. Mm-hmm. And I love this scene so much. Little cinema roll Annie is so, that is annoyed and lesbian, yeah. As that meme said.
Because we want to play car games. I don't want to play license plate. I don't want to play car games. I don't want to play I Spy.
And the answer is C. And he can't guess what it is. And she's like, cumulonimbus. And he's like, that's not a cumulonimbus out there. And she goes, well, it was 30 minutes ago. And Anna's just like, I'm trying to get home to my baby. And y'all out here talking about clouds.
I'm just going to eat figs until you motherfuckers shut up. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. And this, let me tell you, this is sexy as hell. The scene where she's leg hiked up with the thermometer and this where she's leg up riding on the back of the carriage. Oh my God. My sexual orientation is Saran Jones leg up riding on the back of the carriage.
Your sexual orientation is knee cocked, leg slightly open, and Lister.
She's so powerful, man. I want to be her and do her at the same time. It's a complicated emotion.
I just feel like there should be a whole book now on Saran Jones power stances.
And this kid, this damn kid, he ain't been dressed this whole series. Every damn time.
His button is messed up. Like, he is such a ding-dong.
And Jeannie damn sick again.
Okay. Always throwing up. And Anne is being ugly.
Yeah.
She, you can tell she's had enough.
That was ugly. You pregnant again?
That was low.
Let me tell you something. That's an angry butch lesbian thing to do, is just to pull some low-ass shit and bring it up. Y'all can send a letter if you want to, but don't act like that ain't what we
do. She just about pushed Hemingway down the way that she said hello to her.
And Courtney Lee's there.
We're like football players slapping
each other on the ass. Hey, Hemingway, get out of my way, bitch.
She's like, what up?
Yep. And oh, it's Ann. Oh, and oh,
Ann is so excited. Like, y'all, once again, to be loved.
Right.
So much that your Auntie Ann is.
She got an ulcer and a gangrenous leg, but she about to skip and hop about this bed like Charlie's uncle going to the chocolate factory. Charlie's grandpa, excuse me.
Yeah. That's true, too. He ain't been out of that bed or helped that family in 40 years, but he gets up to go to the chocolate factory.
That's Aunt Ann.
Aunt Ann
comes home. I'm fine. I'm good. Let's go have some tea. Bitch, you want some crumpets? I have some crumpets. Go get some crumpets for Ann. She just got home. She tired. She wants some of the figs we always eat.
She is dirty, but shout out to Low Pony.
Dude, she's so happy to see her. Oh, and she right up in the doctor's face.
She is coming for you, Claire. You're in trouble.
You about to take the brunt of this 3-month excursion home.
You are about to really
home.
Take it. She's about to show you who mama is.
Oh, my God. And right up on the throat and nose to nose, honey.
I mean, she's very aggressive, but
it's kind of hot. I ain't gonna lie.
I can't say that I would be mad.
There's something about an angry woman that's so powerful that it's sexy. Gemma from, if you ever watched Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
That always did it for me. The way she would just get angry and I'd be like, I am moist.
And people would always act like I was crazy. They'd be like, how can you feel that way about Gemma? And I'd be like, okay, number one, I don't care who Katie Sagal is playing.
She's hot.
I loved her from many moons and seasons ago. That's
Married
Meg
with
Bundy.
Children. Yeah, come on. She's
you
sexy.
Ain't gonna tell me. I don't care what her character is.
Yeah, no, agree.
But it's the same kind of power, like that aggressive, I'm not afraid to jack your ass up attitude It is so fine.
It is so fine because we as women are taught that we should be afraid to do something like that. And Anne's not afraid. That is her character is not afraid. I will jack your dick having ass up.
Yo, look at that vein on the side of her head. Like, I bet she had a headache when she was done acting this scene because that vein, got a headache just looking at it.
It's like my dad when I had a bad report card. Like, it's a serious vein. And then she kind of like, She realizes, okay, shit, she's I need like, to dial it back.
Yeah, she's like, I forgot that you're a sorry excuse for a human being.
I've been traveling by ship, by donkey, by gig. A bitch is tired. I just need some crumpets and some Madeira, okay? I need some plums and some Madeira and some tea. Bitch, I need to go write in my journal.
I need a very long bath tea.
Bring my thermometer while I go talk to my auntie in the bed.
I mean, it does look like she changed some of her clothes. She's still rocking low pony, which is so beautiful. Sexy.
Oh my God. Jacket open. This whole just her aunt loves her so much.
She's just glad she's home.
She reminds me of my mama. That's how my mama be. She just wanna hear about my travels and where she goes and what she does.
I'm a
I know.
You're so lucky.
I know. I'm really lucky. Thing,
like when you and your mama go and have tea and all that, like y'all, that's what we gonna do for one of our hiatus episodes. We gonna go have tea with Jen's mama.
Oh yeah, for sure. Let's do that, and we'll record it, and you guys can watch it on YouTube and the whole thing. Like y'all, she's precious. Y'all will love her. She's perfect. She's like Aunt Anne. She's just to know her is to love her. Even Marion's happy that she's home.
she got patted on the head.
Yeah, she's like this bitch. But that's just some silver. Oh, and here's Dad. Well, here you are. Oh,
Daddy Lister is ready to give her what's coming.
Yep. It says you wanted to see me. What you want to see me about, Dad? I want to see you about your ass putting up the house that we all live in.
Tell me, Ann. Tell me.
Where the money come from?
Where the deed? You ain't giving away my house underneath me.
Hitting a shot of Madeira real quick. Well, now, this is the thing. What had happened was, 1832, let me have a little Madeira. I had a long trip, and oops. And there was a partial collapse.
And it's all right.
And it flooded and bad stuff is happening.
Daddy Lister was like, I don't know what to tell you, boo-boo, but you are way in over your head.
And they already got my 450.
I already gave my 450.
And what are we going to do if you can't? We're going to lose the house.
Can you imagine that too? Like what you doing something like that, it didn't just affect you. Like you've got all of your tenants, your servants, and your family.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't like displacing. No, I'm sure there was no 1832 old folks home that you would go to, right?
I mean, if there was, it was probably like a scary hospital or an asylum.
And then somebody got hurt. Somebody had their forehead split open, which in 1832 sounds like a death sentence to me, but.
Yeah, that's serious.
And Dad's being a dick. He calls her an idiot.
And that look, though, again.
You don't know
I know that it's aggressive and it's scary, but I can't say I wouldn't love it.
Yeah, it's hot. It's again. And when you finish it, he always eating or getting dressed.
He is. At that time, he was eating some cheese, which I can really relate to.
And I guess everybody done hit the scene about tea time Thursday.
Tea time on Thursday.
James done bringing the trunks up. Go downstairs, James. I don't even want to look at you.
But thank you.
Thank you. Anyway, she happy to be home. She happy to be up in her house. That's a good feeling, too.
I know.
It is such a good feeling.
But she's so pretty. Just look at her. She's just sitting there. She's hearing Anne give her a rise above it. Hmm. You came so close.
What am I?
She's made up her mind. She's like,
James, get the gig. We going over to Shibden.
We going. And here's accordingly. She's just cutting open rabbits and humming like it's no big deal. Soup's cash.
I bet that food was so good back then. Like, it gets no fresher than, like, they killed a rabbit today. No,
like, that rabbit is bleeding still.
I don't know why I'm okay with, like, rabbits, but not okay with doggies and horses.
That is an existential conversation for another day, my friend.
Fair. Totally fair. Courtney's the hardest work.
On her face.
I love her. She's the hardest working handmaid.
She really is. She
does
everything for the whole house, but oh my God.
Oh, ma'am. I'm sorry. I got blood all over my hands.
I didn't know it was going to be you.
Yeah, is anyone in? Is anybody here? Her aunt, Marion, her father. I don't give a fuck.
She don't care. She just needs to know where she could go to get her baby.
Matter of fact, do you know where she at? Do you know? I don't even have to see the rest of them if you know.
And Cordingley's just like, oh, shit, I know that you're Ann Walker.
And look at Marion. Marion's
she's like,
what's
she doing Marion here, girl? Is like, oh, hello. And look at Daddy Lister. He's so cute. Well. You can see where Anne gets it from. Like, that is some major daddy and daughter.
I have to pause that because that's exactly how my dad is. That is exactly. One time my dad told me straight face, he looked me in the face and said, I am jealous of all the women you run with. So, like, I totally get this. This is a dad living through his lesbian daughter. Just a there's a little pride there. There's a little pride there, my friend.
And I will tell you, my great-grandfather, bless his soul, before he passed away, like, he knew who I was.
Yeah.
And he would tell me all the time, like, every now and then, I'd have a girl around a lot, and he would be like, there ain't nothing wrong with bringing pretty girls home. Like, that's what he would tell me. He'd be like, there ain't nothing wrong with bringing pretty girls home. And he'd say, just make sure they're sweet.
I'm going to cry.
And every single girl that I brought around, he'd ask them if he could give them a hug and call them sugar.
And if they let them, they were sweet?
I mean.
Hey, man. Damn,
at least he asked, though.
I know. We need to rent us an old dude right now for me, man. We need to start testing these women.
Wingman. I need a peepaw.
Oh, my God.
I need a peepaw at the bar. Stat.
All right. So, clearly, we were deep in this bottle of Madeira. Anyways, so. Daddy's flirting.
He's really excited.
Marion's like, what you doing here, girl? And he's like, I need Miss Lister's address.
And she's like, why?
In Copenhagen, because I'm looking for my boo. And she's like, oh, she ain't in Copenhagen.
And Anne's like, oh, no.
Look at this face. She's here.
Oh,
here.
Shit.
I mean, she was
gone. Look at her face.
All the color draining.
She's like, one more time, go on and get your baby.
Go get your baby. And Anne's up having the worst day ever. She's having the worst day ever. She had to come home from her travels. She done found out her dad's called her an idiot. She's up here at the pits with fucking Mr. Washington. And he's just like,
no
bitch,
money.
Shit is bad.
Her house is up against the bank.
I need to weigh my options. And he's like, yeah, of course. What are we going to do?
He's like, yeah, but we kind of need to know, like, right now.
It's good to have you back. Thanks for coming back, because your dad was mad, and I was reading him these letters, and I was like, ah. And then Mr. Washington just runs off. Where you going? What you doing?
He knew. He was like, I think it's probably best if I just give her a minute. I'm starting to feel like I'm in danger.
I feel a little upset. I think I probably should go have some tea or some Madeira. She just throwing bricks in the pit.
Like,
mad.
Girl, you're going to make it worse. That's all like I thought, like, could think to myself. I was like, Ann.
That's such a butch woman thing to do. I'm mad, so let me just fuck up
let
some
Let me fuck
shit.
It up some more.
Leave us alone, okay?
Stop attacking my people.
I mean, we are who we are, okay? You appreciate us when there's a bug that needs to be killed or a scary noise that needs to be investigated, but now you want to bitch about me throwing rocks in the pit.
I mean, I guess it depends on who it is, but it is real true, though.
It is. I know what I said. So, look, she's just having a moment. Oh, she's going to scream.
She's screaming. Girl, that feels so good, though.
But you ever had that moment where you're just like, fuck. Everything and everybody.
I've had that moment a lot. I'm a firm believer that it's better to just let it go.
Yeah.
You just need to let it out.
And she screamed it out hard. And this is the worst moment. She's at the lowest point ever, right? Would you not agree?
Yeah, but look who's coming around that corner.
Cinnamon roll.
She done gone and got her baby.
How can she not, like, think she's a mirage at this point? I would have.
Well, I think that she did.
What?
What?
There's faces and everything.
She's like, this is not for real right now.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. Like, girl, are you sure you're from the England? Because that sounds like something you said straight up out the swamp over
here. And
then
she almost a little mad. Aren't you in Scotland? Bitch, why are you here?
I'm going to step back. Like, you are not stepping to me. Like, she's, you know, she doesn't know if she's for real.
Yep.
She's still kind of hurt. She's still got her guard up.
Yeah. But you see, the thing is, I don't think she's happily married with that dude.
She's scared of him. He's a dick.
Yeah. And I think he destroyed the letter. And I couldn't write you back, bitch. I was trying to write you back. Baby, I love you.
I just love how they just pick right back up. Yep. Like,
and then just gossiping. I think she's sad. And girl, she don't love him. And girl, I mean, it was a hard time.
I've been trying, but I didn't know. And Anna's already being a smartass, being patronizing.
Yeah, you can never be sure of people's motives. We talked about you. And what'd she say? She thought that sometimes, often, a good friendship is better than a marriage. So my sister said we could get married. What you think?
My sister has said.
And she mad. She want to do this butch lesbian thing. I'm having a rough day. I just need some money.
So let me just pretend like that's the last thing I want to talk about right now.
I fucked my life up, boo. I need some money. Otherwise, things will be bad. I took a gamble.
But let me tell you, I really feel not, that, though.
Look, hold on. We got really to rewind. Are we really living
if we're not taking a risk once
the
in a while?
The odd risk once in a while. And look at the look she gives her, like. I'm talking about us, too.
Yeah, she's like, I'm also talking about me and you. You're a part of those.
Oh, and the way that Anne looks at her, like, baby, I'm here.
She has the resolve. She's ready. Like, her whole demeanor toward Anne has changed. She's like, baby,
about to do this.
I'm ready. I came and got you, baby.
And she said, I should have written again. I would do that, too. I would immediately put it on myself. I should have written again. That's my fault, boo.
She is. Like, they're holding themselves accountable. Yeah. And they're just like, I just want to be with you.
I miss you. And she's, and have you? You? Yes.
I try not to.
And I turned your wrist and I seen what you've done. What did you do? What did you do, baby, while I was gone?
If I would have known, I would have come back. Like, no matter what, I would have come you and gotten
right.
you, baby.
I would have come and been there. Look at her face, but she didn't say that you'd done that, and I would have.
Honey.
I would have been there, baby. I would have fucking left COVID. Straight back if I would have known. Look at the little tears.
I would have never left you in Scotland.
I'd never leave my cinnamon bun.
I didn't know you was like that.
And then, do you know?
That not 1 hour passed that I didn't think of you.
God. To be loved like that. I cried.
I tried, but every time I closed my eyes.
There you were. Same bitch. I was drawing pictures.
Feel it right?
God, this moment.
It's just
Sally Wainwright. And then she does what I would do too. Immediately, let's talk about something funny. I met the Queen of Midnight and I said the wrong thing to the wrong person. I'm a dummy.
I just spent 30 seconds being vulnerable and now it's too time much. We have to laugh. Go back to surface conversation.
Yep. But that was embarrassing. But hey-o.
Cheers.
I love how she's like, the food was terrible, but it was interesting. And I kept thinking, if you could have seen me, you'd have laughed.
I had a big old bird of paradise in my hair. I lost it in the carriage, but I fixed it. Don't worry. I didn't go in looking a mess.
Well, no, I fixed it. I had it together.
And they're just laughing. They're just being so sweet.
She said, I made a bit of an impact. Surprise, surprise, Ann Lister.
One way or another.
She's so vulnerable in this moment. Like, she can't believe it.
Well, it's the juxtaposition from the entire series so far. Anne Lister has been the person to rescue Anne Walker and to take care of her. But this time,
it's the opposite.
Anne Walker comes to save her.
And you know, if you ask me to marry you again, I saw somebody on the group had done that. No. Oh, bitch.
The anniversary
with
gift.
With the copper?
Yes.
Tears welled
upon my eyes.
But that was beautiful. And she said, but would you say yes? And she said yes.
Yes.
Would you? Don't. And she does what Butch lets me do. Don't fuck with me.
Would you mean it?
And she said, yes, I would. I came all the way home to get you, boo.
I'm ready.
I don't let everybody say it. Take the sacrament with me.
We go into church.
And mean that too. You got to promise to God. All right, let's take a little break, y'all. And here they are. It's the moment.
Reunited and it feels so good.
And you got to go to church. You got to mean all of that. You got to love me. And oh, that hand on that cheek. I love
forever,
you, Anne.
Forever, ever. I always have.
I'm in love with you. I always have been. Can you imagine somebody as beautiful as Sophie Rundle telling you that? Sweet baby Jesus. Don't hurt me.
I'm not as strong as you think.
Well, I am.
Obviously. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm tenderhearted. Like, yes, I can watch all the horror movies, but do not kill a dog.
Some things are just too far.
I know. Like, you can be strong. The strongest people are the most tenderhearted. I can promise you that.
I agree with that 100%.
Oh, my God.
And this
God,
is so beautiful,
kiss.
That kiss. And the way that Saran opens her eyes and looks at her.
It's so good. Hold on. We rewinded that. Yeah.
Let's see this kiss. One more time.
Look between them and then, oh.
That's a passionate kiss. Like, you know, I don't care. Even though they are acting, they felt that.
They felt that.
There ain't no human. You ain't going to have a kiss like that with somebody and not feel something.
Every once in a while, Sophie Rundle texts Saran Joan at like 3 a.m. like, remember that kiss?
She texts her like, no homo, but you remember that time that we kissed on the hilltop over the Shibden Valley?
Okay. It's
good times. I won't bring this up again for another 6 months.
But I don't have some vodkas and I just want to talk about it for a minute. Oh, look. Oh, look here. All right. We're going to the wedding, right?
We're going to the wedding.
Here's a wagon full of daughters. Poor Mr. Washington. Can we just talk about how he has like 7 goddamn daughters?
Yeah, I mean, it's like he has the best and worst life.
He does. He has 6 daughters.
Like,
but really, that's...
You know that has to make him... That's why he's the kind of man he is. That's why he's the way he is, though, is because he's got all those women to look after.
And here we go with old little Timmy One Leg. Timmy One Leg hobbling to the wedding.
Timmy One Leg.
Oh, Bob Cratchit, can I have some more, sir? In the village, sir. I think I'm confusing two stories.
Oliver Twist and A Christmas Carol.
Look, Google. We done gone through this whole bottle of Madeira, and I done had a little bit. Okay.
Just so y'all know, we've had all kinds of technical difficulties throughout this entire ordeal.
It's been rough.
Jen's coughing. We've lost 30 minutes of audio.
Twice.
And had to redo it.
Twice.
It is just, you know, it wouldn't be the finale without a little bit of drama.
Yeah. And all right. And the twin brother already doing magic tricks. He's like, go sit your ass in the gym, church. I'm tired of your shit already. Oh.
Daddy Lester, he's so sweet. I love Daddy Lester. He's like, good luck, lad.
Yeah, and they came to the wedding, and he's like, Ann couldn't be here. She has some business. So.
And by business, that means?
Hey, no fortune. Try and smile, wife. I said yes to this wedding. She want to marry the dumb boy. You married my dumb ass. Could you act right?
Just let it happen.
I'm going to grit through my teeth while we ride on this carriage.
But
on
look
this
at
gig.
Here.
Here we are in the carriage. Is she wearing blue? Because she listened to the
that
Duchess
beautiful
of
indigo.
Copenhagen.
She sure did. That indigo and that like paisley pattern satin waistcoat she's got on. I mean,
they look perfect.
They
both
really
look perfect.
Do.
And
they
look how happy
they
look.
And the way they kiss each other's fingers.
Rings.
Like the fact that I'm jealous that Sophie Rundle got to kiss Saran Jones' hands. I would pay good money.
This is all I want out of life, though, a marriage like this. They don't need anything. They didn't need millions of dollars. They didn't need everybody there. They only needed the two of them, 2 rings, a sacrament from God, and a gig.
I hope that the second season opens up with the honeymoon.
She didn't even bring a thermometer, girl. She didn't need it.
You know,
the temperature
serious.
Is hot.
She wasn't even worried.
She knew what the temperature was.
She knew it was hot in here.
I mean, this whole outfit, I just love it so much. Like, I feel like she was saving this little blue paisley number for just the right moment.
She saved us for this day.
The way she looks at her. Oh, and the break in
the
fourth wall with
the
grin.
All the way around. And the smile. It's like she's looking at us and she's saying, I got her.
I got her.
I got what I always wanted.
And we talked about this the first time between the two of us, how this felt rushed for the series, but what you said to me was
they didn't know
if they'd get a second season.
And they were honestly like, it had taken Sally so many years to get this project picked up in the first place that she did everything she could as best she could in this time.
And well, what you said before was what I really liked is that she wanted to give us this if she couldn't give us anything else.
If she couldn't give us another season,
she wanted us to have this moment. And I liked when you said that, and I respect that, and I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. That's
probably
why she did
the
it.
Only time in all of queer media that the queer folks got a happy ending.
And dude, listen, you know, really, this whole episode is about juxtaposition. She did the same thing with the letter that she's doing with the weddings.
Yes.
She's doing 2 weddings. She's shooting back and forth between the weddings. The same thing with the sisters, too.
Yes, everything. It's like everything is balanced.
Yeah. It's here and there.
Every action has an equal opposite reaction.
And that's amazing. Like, I love this whole, juxtaposition episode.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Thank you, Sally. And oh, and he's thinking of the worst thing he's ever done while he's like, having the best moment.
Imagine sitting there trying to say yes. Yeah, but thinking about the time you had to cut your drunk daddy.
That's what I would do. I would think at my best moment, I would probably think about the worst thing I've ever done. I don't know. That's how the human brain is.
That sounds like a glutton for punishment.
That's how the human brain is sometimes.
I mean,
though.
You're right.
You know,
you're
like,
not
I don't deserve this happiness. Let me think about all the ways that
Let me remind myself why I don't deserve this.
And this is so cool. What a cool moment that they look nervous.
They're
like
about
two
to
people
go and
get
take
married.
Communion together. Yeah. And these, I've been meaning to look it up. There is a whole reason behind the latch door pews.
Yeah, I want to know more about that. We'll talk about that the next
time. I have an article saved about it and sadly just haven't gotten around to reading it.
Because you're too busy on that Lister Sisters op topic. Yeah, I called you out.
And doing my Ann Lister Bronte Sisters research.
You see, getting too Maduri and you're leaning on too much.
Spoilers!
All right, so here they are about to take the sacrament together. And I love that Anne had a whole thing devised. We'll go and take the sacrament together. That's how we'll be married. And shout out to the Lister Sisters or Lister listeners that have been to the church where they actually took the sacrament. That's really
cool. I know.
Cool. We're going to do it.
We're going to have our own Ann Lister pilgrimage.
Yeah, and maybe that'll be in some of the future episodes. Maybe we'll record that, the Yanks.
Maybe we can do a live episode.
The Southerners go across the pond.
Two hillbillies take Halifax.
I'd watch that. And this is so cool. And here they are back and forth between the Soudan wedding
and the Ann Lister, Ann Walker wedding.
Oh, my God.
And they're so cute. Just like, they're both taking up the smallest amount of space and just doing the
Which,
smallest.
Stop doing that, women. Take up all the space you want. This is 2019. We're here to take up space. That's what Ann Lister taught
us. Look at that. They made eye contact just a little.
Oh, and this scene is my favorite.
This is the best in the whole series.
It's the most intimate out of all that we've seen.
This is intimacy.
Those little pinky fingers. Pinky fingers.
Let me tell you, you know you are in love with somebody when your pinky fingers will just find their way.
Is this
together.
Not a lesbian thing, like the electricity at the mere touch of pinky fingers?
I mean, for me, yes. I mean, I don't know. There might be some straight people out there that experience that. I wouldn't know.
I don't know the intensity of the straight experience. You're right, dog.
I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to.
Y'all go ahead and write us and let us know.
I know that I've about been moved to tears from the touch of a pinky. Thank you.
A thigh laid next to another thigh. A summer short thigh, because we live in the South. Let's be real. We know who we are.
The morning sun on your sweet cinnamon roll face.
Okay, so they've married. They've done it. Everybody's married. The Soudans are married. And look how happy Thomas Soudan is. And here goes them uncle to fuck it up.
I know. Just run. Like, people run their mouth too much. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have a family meeting with my family where I'm going to be like, the only thing that any of y'all need to be talking about is asking people how they're doing and what they do for a living. Like, anything other than that, don't be talking about it at my wedding.
Nope. I don't want to hear about how you can't read, how you can't do nothing. And so now the dad's upset. He's found out on the wedding day that he didn't write the letter. So there's some suspicion there.
Because he can't read or write.
Season two. Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Yeah, y'all better foreshadow just in case season two happens.
And here comes the two Anns with just shit.
Look at them. They just grinning.
Can we just say that it's a gay faux pas to marry somebody with your same name? How are you going to call your same name in bed? Oh, Ann. I forget who's here. Is that me or is that you? But here we go.
I mean, straight out the gate.
You should move into Shibden.
This is marriage. This is a real portrait of marriage right here.
We just got married. What do you think we should do? Well, I think we should go back to Halifax.
And we just need to go ahead and get the whole tribe together and let everybody know what's going on. And Anne's like, no, not today.
Nope. And then we're going to move you and meet at Shibden.
And Anne just like not even paying attention yet. She's still just talking, giving her 2 cents.
Yeah, but not today. But yeah, I know you do. But I think we should wait a few days because I want to enjoy my life. I'll bring all my things over to ship.
Yeah, like I'll go ahead and do what I need to do, but we don't have to, like, who cares what they think? We can wait. Let's take some time. That was really her way of being like, I got better things for us to do today, Playa.
And I respect the hell out of that. You're right. You're right, girl. Let's go back to the room or wherever we're staying. Put your watch away. That is 1832. Put your phone away.
It is. Like,
Butch women, put your phone away. I know I'm so guilty of this.
We all are.
Put your damn phone away.
Put your watch up.
And they're just doing this sexy, beautiful thing that only people that really love each other can do. They are shit-talking each other lovingly.
They are. And she wants to know if she's being patronizing. Oh, you're very pretty in a certain light. You're not just a pretty-faced girl.
I don't when I'm with you. I told you.
She's just telling her. It's like she's like, do I have to paint this out on the cement for you and cement chalk that I got better things for us to do than go talk to everybody today?
Right.
AKA, I'm trying to get some booty.
let's go back to the room and have
a little
just married sex. Yeah. And what a great ending to this fucking series. I mean, well, to the episode, the season.
The season.
Sorry, the Madeira
well,
got
it's
me.
Well, it's series. Across the pond, they call each season a series. Whereas look, we call all the seasons together a series.
Look how hip we are. Stop it.
We so cool.
Hey, so here we go. The end of episode 8. Are you still talking? Thank you for sticking with us. We have enjoyed entertaining you guys. If you guys have enjoyed it, we've enjoyed it a million times more just doing this for y'all. Thank you for listening.
It's become the best part of both of our weeks.
Absolutely. And we'll be giving you more companion episodes after this. You know, we don't have any show to watch, but we're going to be talking about some things. We're going to be talking about some other Lister sisters. No spoilers, but Kristen has a theory that's going to blow you guys all out of the water that we're all going to be talking about probably for several episodes. So we have enough meat and broth to get you through to season 2. Is all I'm going to say.
We've got you. And don't forget to let us know what you want to hear about too, because we do have a lot of weeks and it's fair for us to do some of the things that you guys want to hear us talk about.
We want to do some of the things. We're here for y'all. We love you guys so much. We really appreciate all the listens. Like, that means so much to us. Like, just that you would take time out of your day to give a damn what we think about and talk about. It means the world to us.
That's a lot of hours of life.
That's true. So let's do our Gentleman Jack nomination. Our Gentleman Jack nomination. I can do things.
We can do hard things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we decided this week that our Gentleman Jack of the week is going to go to our good buddy from the Facebook groups, Lucinda. Girl. You can make a whole ass living off of motivating people and helping people love themselves and appreciate themselves. We see you do it all day, every day on the groups, just uplifting everybody. Everybody that says anything about anything, you've got something good
to say about it.
To them. And if they can't accept it, you push them to accept that they have good qualities and that they should be proud of them. And I don't think that there's anything more gentlemanly Jack.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Even her profile picture. It's just a picture of her with her head just thrown back and laughing. That's beautiful.
That's life.
And we respect that and we love that. So we picked you as our Gentleman Jack this week because we
are here for that.
Yeah. Thank you for uplifting other women. Thank you for being a source of entertainment, inspiration, and just straight up joy. Am I right?
And being a good friend.
Yeah. So thank you so much. You're our Gentleman Jack nominee. We'll send you a nice little, certificate.
Certificates.
So we got some new regions this week, you guys. We reached new listeners. You want to read them out, Kristen? Let us know.
Yeah, we actually got 5 new geographic regions.
5 new listeners. We will take y'all.
I mean, it might be more than that. It's just less than 1% of the entire listenership. So really,
it could be 5 of y'all in a room.
It could be a lot more than that, to be completely honest. Anyway, so this week we want to shout out to Cayman Islands, Barbados, Jersey, New Zealand and Argentina. And for all of our American listeners, I don't mean Jersey as in New Jersey. I mean Jersey, the tiny island that's a part of the United Kingdom.
Dude, I'm so excited about the New Zealand listener. Like, that's the hottest accent in the whole world.
Yes.
I was eating some Gala apples, and I was in New Zealand. And I was, you know, they're delicious apples.
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 It's the only thing I know how to say in New Zealand. Dude, but they had, New Zealand is so cool. I watched.
I want to go there really bad.
Me too.
I just want to go everywhere.
I want to meet my wife in New Zealand. That's why I want a New Zealand wife. They're tough people. They are so tough. Dude.
They are badasses.
Badasses.
You're right.
Same. Actually, every new listener that we have, Argentina, Jersey, Barbados, y'all. Y'all humble us with your love, and we love y'all back.
I wonder if one of our listeners in Barbados is somebody who's related to Rihanna.
Hey.
If you know Rihanna, tell her to listen to our podcast.
Thank y'all so much for listening. We love y'all. We'll be back next week with something a little new for you. And thanks for listening to this episode.
We love you guys so much.
See you next time.